Hello, welcome to What Theatre Means to Me. My name is Todd Dugan. I'm an actor, podcaster and producer. And in this podcast, I chat to actors and creatives about their theatre journeys and what theatre really means to them. In today's episode, I chat to my lovely friend, Rosie Elena. Rosie was 2 years above me at drama school, and we chat about her work since graduating, what it's like grafting in the industry, and we just have a really honest and lovely chat. So here's what theatre means to Rosie Elena. Hello everyone, welcome to What Theatre Means to Me. I'm Todd Dugan and I'm joined today by the wonderful Rosie Elena. Hi Rosie.
Hi Todd.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, my love. Not bad. So, the first thing I want to ask you is, getting into theatre, what was the first thing that you remember seeing at the theatre as a kid that kind of sparked that interest?
Chicago.
Absolutely. How old were you when you saw Chicago?
I must have been about 8 years old.
Really?
And I saw it in Milton Keynes. I know. And I just loved it. I thought, this is the show that I could see. And I was only eight. But I'd also seen the movie before that with Catherine Zeta-Jones. And I was absolutely obsessed. And Moulin Rouge as well.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But these are both quite sexy musicals, and I was quite young, but I mean, I just loved it. I loved the glamour, I loved the Fosse. That was sort of what set my spark alight.
Nice. So it was that first thing that you saw? Wasn't anything afterwards that kind of went, no, I definitely want to do this as a job? It was that. That's brilliant. So when you saw that, did you end up doing dance classes or theatre? How did you then get into doing it as a hobby and then seeing it as a career path? What was your journey there?
So I began ballet lessons when I was 6 years old. Oh, wow. Before this, my dad had heard me singing opera, and I was about 3 years old.
Singing opera?
Opera. And I was singing along to the TV, and my dad was like, she's three, how can she sing opera? And apparently they heard that like I had an amazing singing voice, and they were like, we need to do something with this. So they started sending me to ballet lessons, and then I began a Saturday theatre school.
Nice.
When I was 8 years old, so nice. It was around the time after seeing Chicago.
Yeah.
And I went there every Saturday, and I didn't enjoy school at all.
Yeah.
So Saturdays were what I really looked forward to.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's what like drove me on through the week.
That's so nice. So how long were you there for? Were you with the, did you do ballet and the theatre school for a long time or?
Mm-hmm. So I did ballet, continued that up until I was about 13.
Nice.
And then I started different classes. Yeah, so I was still doing ballet at a different school, and then tap and jazz. Nice. As well as the Saturday school. So like during the week I was doing my dancing, and then Saturdays
were your theatre school day.
And then at school I was doing drama, and then in secondary school I started going to Sylvia Young on Saturdays.
Yeah.
So I'd travel on the train every Saturday from the age of about 14 to 15 for like a year.
Nice.
And I'd do acting classes there and singing lessons. And I had my singing lessons from a guy called Ray. And he was Amy Winehouse's singing teacher.
Really?
Yeah, and he used to do he used to get us to do, is it called skitting, where you go,
right, yeah, yeah.
Boop, boop,
scatting.
And he used to get us to do that on our own, and I used to I get so nervous. I'd be like, a scuba doo ba boop bow, and he'd be like, okay, and moving on to the next one. I wasn't a scatter, shall we say. But it was amazing to be taught by Amy Winehouse's coach.
Yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So did you enjoy Sylvia Young?
I did really enjoy it. That's cool. Also did cheerleading, and I was the one that was like thrown into the air, that really helped. Yeah, I was the one that was, and that really helped with my like stamina and fitness and flexibility. And then my dance teacher told my parents she advised for me to stop cheerleading because it was actually sort of giving me bad dance technique.
Really?
With like arching,
yeah.
Because it's a different style. So
it's a whole different ball game, it is.
That's the thing. And then I did my GCSEs and went on to Northampton College.
Nice.
So I'd travelled to Northampton College to do musical theatre.
Nice.
And it was an amazing college there.
I suppose it's not too far from Milton Keynes, is it? It's not bad at all.
Yeah, 40 minutes on the bus.
Oh, nice, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And I met lots of amazing people there who also loved theatre. And then I auditioned after 2 years for stage schools.
Good.
The first year, I got in to a few places, but I didn't get funding anywhere.
Right.
So I couldn't afford to go.
Really?
Whereas a lot of my peers did already have the finances to be able to go anyway, or got funding.
Yeah.
And I felt so so defeated and so knocked back. But I thought,
absolutely.
What do I do now? Okay, I'm going to do 1 year of an H&D. I'm going to keep going and I'm going to get better. And next year I'm going to audition and I'm going to get the funding and I'm going to get into loads of places. So I did just that. That's I worked really hard and I did a year of an H&D and I auditioned at all the top drama schools. And then I got funding at multiple ones, including Italia Conti. And I was like, and I chose Italia Conti because I felt like Italia Conti, it kind of allowed you to be yourself. It really accepts
100%. It does.
Individuals how they are, and it doesn't try and mould you or put you into a box. And I really liked that. I thought,
like certain schools could sort of, you could see that it was like they were after the same kind of performer and things. And you're like, no, it's so nice that everyone in my class, their strength had different strengths and different things. Like it was really nice that everyone kind of was their own individual, which was so nice.
Exactly,
That's so good. So so we skip through drama school and we skip through that. And so currently, so you've been out of drama school, was it four years now? 3 years?
So I did a 3-year course at Italia Conti. I graduated in 2019.
Nearly 4 years. That's mad, that's gone really quick.
Wait, it's been 4 years since I graduated.
Since you graduated, yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, where's the time gone?
Honestly, it's been nearly two since I graduated. I'm like, this is mad.
Wow.
Yeah, mental. So coming out of that drama school bubble and into the industry, what are your current, obviously you're still very much at the beginning, like towards the beginning of your career, what are the highs and lows so far of your of the career in general,
So,
go for it.
I have ADHD, which is quite common in the industry, and I wasn't treated for it until I was in my second year of Conti.
Yeah.
So I really struggled with things like organisation and remembering things, and it's a real challenge to do well when you have ADHD because you struggle with memory, you struggle with punctuality. There's lots of things that are quite impaired when you have ADHD. But it also does mean that you are very creative and you have strengths in other areas. And my strengths lay in my creative abilities and being able to think outside the box. I've always had a really strong imagination, and I just go for things. It's kind of like that fear I don't really have. But anyway, I went on to medication in my second year, and so for my third year, it completely changed the game for me.
Yeah.
I was able to finish tasks. I was able to basically get the best out of my training in terms of the academic side as well as the creative side.
Yeah.
And I did really well in my third year, and I was really lucky because I got a part in my showcase, which enabled me to showcase myself to the best of my abilities.
Yeah.
And from that, I got a choice of agent offers, and I didn't know what one to choose. And I went to different interviews with different agents, and I had different opinions, and I ended up going with an agent who I felt was best for me. And then As soon as I graduated, I landed my first job in Kinky Boots.
Which was amazing.
And straight out of
Straight out,
graduating, I
yeah.
thought, wow, this is incredible. So that was the high. That was definitely the high for me, coming out and landing that straight away. And I was just so happy and so excited. And it was on a cruise ship, and I'd never been on a cruise ship before. So on the cruise ship, I worked with top directors, Jerry Mitchell, Dominic, amazing industry professionals, Holly Ann Devlin. It was a great experience. And I met loads of like-minded performers. And it was such an incredible show to be a part of, because it's all about, accepting people for who they are, inclusivity, and not being afraid to express who you are,
Yeah.
not being afraid of judgment. It's an amazing musical.
Yeah.
It really challenged me on my vocal stamina.
Yeah.
It's a very belty pop rock show, so I was singing my heart out for 8 shows a week, and I was involved in 2 shows on the cruise ship, Prohibition and Kinky Boots. In Prohibition, I played Bessie Bourbon, who is such an amazing character.
Yeah.
She's from the Bronx, so strong New York accent. She was
Nice.
kind of the cheeky one of the
That's
group.
good. Yeah.
She is mischievous. She kind of had qualities that I also have, so it was really great to play her. And it was a very dance-heavy show as well, so I got to
Yeah.
really work with my dance. And I wore a mullet in Kinky Boots as
Did
Gemma
you?
Louise.
I didn't know that.
And everyone just could not wait to see me in this
In a
mullet,
mullet.
because I'm such a glamorous person. Like, I love my makeup, and they just thought, yeah, they thought, Rosie Essex in a mullet, this is gonna be great. And the first time it was put on, I did cry. I held back my tears, and I thought, no. Gotta do it. No, gotta, let's work it.
Embrace it.
Let's embrace
Yeah,
it.
100%. I love that.
So it wasn't the most glamorous role to first come into, but it was
Yeah.
amazing because I got this opportunity.
Yeah, what a great opportunity.
And in the show, I did various stunts. It was lots of quick changes. It was very bitty, and
Yeah.
it was tough. And I had to run along a treadmill at one point in our show, and like flip over the
Oh, the
side.
other, yeah.
Yeah, it was like my favorite bit of the show. I absolutely loved doing it, because I
Yeah.
grab the boot and I'm just running along and having the best time of my life, and I flip off the thing. There were times when it would be quite rocky, and we thought, oh, the show might be cancelled, but it would still go ahead. And the angels would wear these extravagant outfits and costumes. And one of our angels, Graham, is the tall one. He wears the England
Oh,
costume, the England flag costume, and he's covered in pearls. And we were all in 9-inch or 6-inch heels, massive boots at the end in the finale. And we go onto the stage, and it's rocking, and one of Graham's pearls flings off, and the whole bunch of pearls go onto the
like
stage,
shatter.
shatter over the onto the stage. And
No.
we are in the wings, about to go on. Everyone is just
In those heels,
in our
like,
heels, looking at all the pearls rolling
oh.
around the stage, like, oh my goodness. And so when we all go on, because we're like, the show must go on,
Yeah.
if you hit the dust, and we're just looking around, just dodging the
Just,
pearls,
yeah.
dodging the pearls. And it was just
Kicking them
so
into the
funny.
audience, like,
No one got hurt.
that's a
No one
miracle.
got hurt. I don't know how, but that was an experience. And it's just things like this that you have to learn to, like, get on with. And like, there were props that would fall down, like, I mean, big heavy sets. I had
Really?
to roll on big heavy sets onto the stage. There was a lot of responsibility. And I was understudy to Nicola, and unfortunately, the girl who played Nicola, lovely girl, she injured her knee, so it meant that I had to go on for 2 weeks for Nicola. And I'd never ever actually run the track. I'd watched in the rehearsal
Yeah, of
process, but I'd
course.
never actually got to do it. So it was really, really a challenge for me. I was going over all of the lines, making sure that I felt comfortable with it, and it was an amazing experience. It was terrifying, but I did it. And when I went on, I just got this like electric feeling. Yeah. And it was just an amazing experience. And then shortly after that, COVID happened, and we all got stuck on the cruise ship. We didn't know what was going on. We were confined to our rooms, to our rooms until further notice. So it was quite a scary time. And all of our agents were writing out on Twitter, get us, our cast are stuck on, our clients are stuck on board, help get them home. Yeah. I think we were on there for 2 weeks, and then eventually we got home.
What, 2 weeks isolating?
2 weeks isolating. Really? But we were allowed times to go and get food from the
canteen. Right, yeah.
But the thing is, the food, they couldn't get any fresh food on board, so it was all food that was sort of left over. It wasn't the nicest food I've ever had in my life. So I lost a lot of weight suddenly in these 2 weeks. But yeah, when I got home, it was just the most amazing feeling. I thought, I cannot wait to get home.
Yeah.
I'd missed home so much. I'd obviously loved my experience performing.
Yeah.
But I got home and it was a completely different life. I went home and I went to stay with my boyfriend in Norfolk, and it was just so different to being on the cruise ship. And I remember going into Tesco's and just seeing Quavers and cheesy Wotsits and just hugging them. I'd missed them so much. There were all these foods.
Yeah, all those comfort foods that you miss. Yeah.
Yeah. And during lockdown, I rediscovered a lot about myself, and it was a very different time to when I was performing. And then when things started to pick up a bit, I got some auditions in, but I wasn't fit because I hadn't been continuing my training.
That's the thing. And it was so, in that time, it was so hard to, really hard to keep up with anything. Like, in terms of, yes, everything being shut, but also having the mental kind of, because it was so hard for the world to go through that, and you having the motivation and the sort of emotional capability to, like, okay, right, I'm going to crack on and really do this.
Mm-hmm.
It was so hard because it was like nearly, it was a long time.
And it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also we sort of didn't know when or if anything was ever going to come back. So I learned a lot of things during that lockdown. I taught myself how to do French plaits. I accidentally created a duck farm by adopting some ducks and feeding them, finding out what they ate and feeding them worms and cutting them up vegetables every day. They were like my babies until they became the most monstrous ducks you've ever seen in your life. They started out like cute little ducklings. They became monsters. They were so demanding. They'd come to the door and they'd just be like pecking on the door, like, where's my food? They dug holes all in the garden. My boyfriend's dad was not happy with me at all. We got them a paddling pool as well. So there was one point where the garden was just flooded.
Really?
And there were just ducks everywhere. But, you know, we gave those ducks the best life, but all good things must come to an end.
You've got to do what you've got to do during COVID. We had to just, we all did some random
stuff. Yeah.
I looked at a photo of me the other day. A friend of mine sent me a photo of me because obviously we couldn't have, I have my hair cut every 4 weeks because she sent me this because I couldn't have a haircut and I didn't want anyone other than a barber or a hairdresser to touch it. My mum was like, I was like, no, no, you are not going in my hair. But it was so bad, she sent me this photo.
Who did it?
No, because I'd let it grow.
Oh,
and it was
you just
like,
let it grow?
I just let it grow, so it was like, it was huge, it was like out here.
That is brilliant.
And I didn't think it was that bad. I thought, oh, it's growing and it's long and it's, but at the time, you're like, everyone's kind of the same. But then looking back at it, I was like, how did anyone let me out of the house looking like that?
I'd love to see a photo of
it. I'll
try
and find a photo in a bit for you. Oh my life, it was really bad.
That is brilliant.
But yeah, we did what we needed to do. So that was your career high, sort of graduating drama school and doing that. What about, is there a point in the career you've gone, like a sort of a low point, feel free, you don't have to say anything you don't want to, but if there's a point that you've gone, or like this is quite a hard time in this industry for me, or...
Absolutely. I think probably I'd say my rock bottom or biggest challenge so far has been when I began to get auditions again, when lockdown had settled a little bit.
Yeah.
I had an audition for Thursford, and my flexibility has always been really good, but I hadn't really been working on it enough, and so when I went to the audition I pulled my groin, and it was a really bad injury, and it took a very long time to sort of heal. It's better now, but it's not the same, and I'm still trying to get that strength and that flexibility back, but it's so much better than it was. But that was a dip. And around a similar time I was getting through to the finals for Jersey Boys. I got through so many rounds, and it was just so exciting, and I was so ready for it. I thought, this is it.
This,
like,
is the moment. Yeah,
yeah. And I was so ready, and I felt like I'd done really well in all the stages, and I got right up to the finals, and I went and I bought new Ledoukas. I spent like £300 on dance shoes.
I
was so prepared. I did everything right, and I went to the audition, and because it was still in COVID times, there were only four others in the audition room.
Yeah.
And I went into the audition room, and I absolutely, in my head, I thought I'd smashed it. I thought that couldn't have gone any better. And I've done some bad auditions in the past, but this one just felt so good. The directors were asking me to, you know, do it in different ways. And I was in there for quite a while. So it all felt really positive.
Yeah.
And when I came out, I took a breath, and I just thought, yeah, you know, I'm really happy with how this has gone. And then weeks went by, nothing. And I think it went like two months even went by, nothing. And then I get a text on my phone from my agent, like, you're free for a call. And I start getting excited. I'm like, oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
And then she calls me, and then she's like, yeah, you haven't got it. And then she said, and also the other self-tape you submitted for, yeah, you haven't got that either. And I was like, oh, okay. And I just felt so low, because I was so close.
Yeah.
And I never got any feedback. I still to this day, I don't know what I could have done better. But for me, I'd just done everything right. So it was really disheartening. But it didn't make me... stop, or didn't make me give up. It obviously was a down moment, but it made me kind of think, no, I want this more. And I also realized that there were things that I had to change, and you know, like my location. I was in Norfolk. I needed to get back into dance classes. I needed to get back into singing classes. There were things I needed to work on myself. So I was like, okay, take this as an opportunity to do all those things. So moved back to London, got new headshots, started going back into dance classes.
Yeah.
I've now been doing singing classes again, which have been great.
That's good.
So I had to sort of rely on other areas of my life for happiness. I think that sometimes you can be really fulfilled in one area. Like, you can have... So, for example, when I got Kinky Boots, I was really fulfilled in my career.
Yeah.
But there were other areas of my life that weren't fulfilled. And I was earning loads, but, like, you know, I was having issues with friendships and things like that. And I was away from home, and I wasn't the best... I wasn't the strongest I've ever been mentally, put it that way.
Right, yeah.
And then when I moved back to London, and so this is after the cruise ship and after COVID, I would now say my career, you know, it hasn't got to where I would want it to be yet, but it's forced me to invest time into other areas of my life that I wasn't investing into before. So I really look after myself now. I really I really look after my mental health. I journal, I meditate, I look after my skin, I look after my health a lot. I do yoga, I exercise, I make sure that I'm, you know, doing everything I can to be my happiest self. And my friendships as well, my relationships, I put a lot of time and energy into them because I realise how important it is to have the right people around you.
I completely agree. And I think as long as you're happy and doing something like a muggle job or whatever that you're really happy and passionate about, and you're having a good time, the right thing will then come along for you because you're not in any rush to get out of that state. You know, you're in a good place with friendships and with work and things like that. You're in a good place. You go, okay, I'm in no rush to get out of this. And then all of a sudden, the opportunity will come to you. And I'm a firm believer in that. It's the right place at the right time, and you've got to be in a good mental state for that to be.
Absolutely. I agree. You have to release the old to allow room for the new.
I completely agree.
Had a lot of things that I needed to work on and that I needed to you know, that were holding me back. It gave me time to sort of get my leg better, physio and everything like that. And during lockdown, I didn't mention as well, I had an idea to set up a jewellery business. Well, it wasn't going to be a jewellery business. It was going to be a makeup brushes line. That's why it's called Cosmetics. But I got the logo, I designed the logo myself, and I invested into things that I wanted to sell and create. And that was my creative outlet. And it is an online business. It's not thriving. It's not doing amazingly well, but it's still ticking along. And it's sort of gave me some fulfillment in another area. It's like it gave me fulfillment, and I could use my creativity and put it into something that I made and something that was mine. And even if it's not like a really successful, shall we say, business, it's still something.
Absolutely. And I think that's really important. I think that's probably part of the reason why I wanted to start this podcast, really, because it's a really nice creative outlet to chat to people, chat to actors and creatives just about, and just talk about shared experiences. And I think it's really important. So I think having something separate to keep that creative spark alive is so important.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Have you got any, the next question is, have you got any advice for people starting out in the industry, whether they're just starting at like theatre, like Saturday theatre schools like you did, or whether they're in drama school or that just graduated? Have you got any advice for any performers or creatives, if people are looking at producing, any sort of advice for people going into this industry knowing what you know now?
I would say to stay consistent is the most important thing. You know, you don't have to do loads all at once, but just stay consistent, even because you're going to get down times and you're going to get high times. You're going to get it's going to be up and down, but as long as you are maintaining that consistency and still, if you've come out of stage school, still going to your classes, you have to maintain that if you want to keep going in the business. And also try to find the fun in it. So I have been to various different classes, and some classes I was going to really made me feel on edge and almost made me feel like I was in an audition, and I'd always come out feeling rubbish, and I wasn't able to really pick up the routines. And I think that's because of how intense the environment was. Then I went to a few and I explored different classes, and I found some classes where I thought, no, this is nice, it's a good, you know, the pressure's not there, and I was enjoying it. And so I now continuously go to those classes. Sometimes it's easy as performers to glorify things and to feel like if I get this, then I'll be happy. If I get that job, then I'll feel this way.
Yeah.
But that's not always the case, you know. Just because you get that thing doesn't mean that it's gonna fulfill. That doesn't mean that it's gonna make you happy. Because as human beings, we love new experiences. We get bored easily. And even with shows, you can book your dream job, but after doing 8 shows of that a week for 6 months straight, you're going to get tired, you're going to get fatigued. Yeah. And it is that feeling that we are always chasing, that phone call when you get that yes. But it's not the be all and end all. You can't sacrifice other areas of your life that you rely on for happiness just for that.
Just for that, yeah.
Because it's not sustainable.
A healthy balance.
A balance. Yeah. Balance is so important.
Yeah.
Don't compete with anyone else in your industry. The only person that you need to compete with is the person that you were yesterday.
That's just really nice.
Keep becoming a better version of yourself and competing with yourself to better yourself, because keep competing with someone else is not going to get you where they are. It's only going to hold you back, because it's an unrealistic standard. You are your own person. Everyone's individual. And you're not on the same path as them. You're on your own path.
Absolutely. Yeah. And comparison can be a really slippery slope when you get down that. And you've just got to go, you know what? We are all individual performers. We're all on our different journeys. And I'm at that point at the minute where I'm like so happy to just champion the successes of my friends and go, you know what? Mm-hmm. People are doing amazing. My time will come at some point.
Yeah.
But at the moment, let's root for those people. Let's celebrate that. And
I love
just
that.
Go, yeah, my time will come at some point.
I love that. Yeah. I love that so much, because, you know, so many people aren't like that. And it feels good to sort of be so comfortable in yourself that you can be like, yeah, go on, really happy and genuinely happy for others' successes. Because you know that just because you're not getting that right now, it doesn't mean that it's not going to come.
Yeah.
And other people have worked so hard to achieve that.
That's really nice advice. It's really, really nice advice. Okay, Rosie, so my final question really is the name of this podcast. What does theatre mean to you?
Theatre is the reason that I still go to these dance classes and push through the injuries and deal with the rejection and just keep on going, because theatre is a way of life. I feel like theatre is what I was born to do.
Yeah.
So theatre means the world to me, really, because it keeps that spark going. I have such a passion for theatre.
Yeah.
And I know that lots of people do have passion for theatre, and that's because it's an outlet for creatives to spark something in others and make others feel inspired or motivated or enlightened or happy. And it's a way that we can, you know, bring those emotions to life in not only ourselves but others as well.
I think that's the main thing, really. I think we as performers and creatives want to give audiences that feeling that we had when we were 5-6 years old. We want that 6-year-old in the audience going, oh, we want to provoke that reaction, don't we? And I think that's so, yeah, I completely agree. That's the main outcome, really. If I perform and I can get one person to go, I would love to be an actor, that's my life, that's fine. I've completed my goal. That's it.
It's a magical feeling. It really is. When you're on stage and you're all singing together and all the audience, you can just about see their faces smiling and clapping, and you know that you've helped them to spark that joy and you've helped them to feel exhilarated or inspired. It's an amazing, amazing feeling. I love theatre. I just think, what would the world be without it, you know?
100%. I completely agree. Okay, Rosie, thank you so much for being on the podcast. You've been such a lovely guest. One final thing, is there anything else you want to say? Anything you want to plug? Anything, any little footnotes to the end of the podcast you kind of want to something that you wanted to say you didn't want you haven't had a chance to?
Yeah, I have one final thing to say.
Go for it.
And that is that in this industry, you have to root for yourself. Not everyone is going to believe in you, and you're going to get knocked so many times before you get lifted. So it's up to you to keep that tunnel vision and don't hold yourself back. Don't purely rely on your agent for opportunities. You have to create your own opportunities and take chances, because you won't regret the chances you do take. You'll only regret the chances that you don't take. So email the casting directors, regularly check Spotlight for castings, go to workshops and get your name out there for yourself. Never stop rooting for yourself, because you will be your best friend in this industry and you will be the reason you either succeed or fail. It's never someone else's fault, as much as we want to blame it on others.
Yeah.
It's all, we have to take responsibility for our own careers and our own actions. So remember to continuously remind yourself why you started and who you're doing this for.
That's brilliant. Yeah. That's such lovely advice. Thank you, Rosie. Yeah. You've been a star. I'm going to stop the record now and we'll probably continue chatting for a bit. But thank you so much for being on the pod.
Thank you for having me. It's been lovely.
And that was episode 3. Thank you so much to Rosie for being a part of the podcast and agreeing to chat to me. It was so lovely. So thank you very much. Be sure to check out what's next for Rosie. Keep a little eye out on her career, because I feel in my bones that this is her year. So yeah, keep an eye out for her. This has been a Dugan production. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting it. And thank you to all of you for listening. Honestly, the support has been so lovely. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just plodding along, learning as I go. So it really means a lot that people are supporting it and messaging me with lovely messages of support and that they're enjoying it. And that's all that matters. But if you do like it, be sure to send it to friends and maybe review it. If you don't mind, if you'd like to. But yeah, thank you very much, and we will see you next week, same time. Take care.